And welcome to this special edition of the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, and our featured guest is the Mr. Darren Delosier. Producer, are you executive producer? What's your official title, Darren?
I kind of wear a couple hats. I'm the, I guess, producer of the show, and I'm also a director of the radio department.
Okay.
So producer and director of the radio department for Catholic Answers.
For Catholic Answers Live. The Catholic Answers Live.
Mm-hmm. So, Darren, I wanted to start out just like, you know, to get the super important things out of the way. So I wanted to ask you what your favorite beer was and what your favorite scotch is. Because you told me you were a scotch guy as well, which like was just music to my ears.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually drinking right now a Russian Imperial Stout.
Rasputin.
Rasputin, yeah. But what's your favorite beer and scotch?
Sure, yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. Let's see. Yeah, I love both the beer and scotch. Now, as far as scotch goes, I'm not like, I don't have, you know, a super, what do you call it? Palate? Yeah, I mean, you know, some of the scotches can get pretty pricey. So I'm pretty much like Stewart
no
or Bushmills or kind of, you know, I'm not breaking mm-hmm. the bank on the scotch. But, I guess the best I've had is I lost a bet one time and to the webmaster at Catholic Answers, Chuck Gallucci. And the winner of the bet got a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue Label, which I think is like a hundred. Yeah,
oh my
like
God. Wow. High
now,
stakes.
So we split the cost of it, and then the winner got to keep the bottle. But even though I lost the bet, he was gracious enough to let me have a glass, and it was amazing.
I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I've never had the Blue Label.
I don't think I have either.
It's just like just too hard for me to pull the trigger on. Last time I looked, it was like 200 and some odd dollars, $220.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that how much it was over there?
I think he got it at some like Costco deal. I remember shipping in about $60 for it.
Oh, wow. That's,
oh, that's a good
better.
Deal. We just got Costco in the last year. It's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's been a great year.
for us Tulsans.
Yeah.
Okay. So what about a beer? Do you have a favorite beer?
So
My favorite beer is asking me like what my favorite song is. Like I have no idea. It's like which one's in my glass.
Right, exactly. I love all kinds of beer. I mean, when I moved to San Diego about 12 years ago, that was one of my first thoughts. Was like, oh my gosh, there's all kinds of great beer there. This is awesome. And so there's all kinds of great local stuff. But let's see. I mean, like I enjoy a good IPA. Although I have to say my taste for IPAs has dwindled over the past few years. I don't know, like as I get more into my 30s, I still enjoy an IPA, but I'm just not always in the mood. But I'd say my favorite beer is probably still an IPA from Russian River Brewing in California called Pliny the Elder.
Pliny the Elder.
Like, actually, it's funny because run into Pliny the Elder sometimes in Catholic apologetics because, and there's also Pliny the Younger, and there's actually a beer called Pliny the Younger too. and they pronounce, if you're talking apologetics or history, this Roman guy is called Pliny, but whenever I hear people talking about the beer, they pronounce it Pliny. But, anyway, it's just a nice IPA that, very happy, but also, not as bitter. So I don't. Mm-hmm. That's the best way I can describe it.
Well, Darren, one of our friends of the show, we call him Saint Stephen Poole.
Poole. You always say Poole.
I know. I always do that. Sorry, Stephen. He sent us a couple beers from Treetops Brewing.
Treehouse.
That's another thing I always do.
Yeah.
I have to ask you. Treehouse Brewing in New Hampshire?
Massachusetts.
It's one of the little bitty states.
Massachusetts.
It's one of the small states up there. Mm-hmm. and oh my gosh, it was phenomenal. It was an IPA, but it didn't really taste anything about, you know, what you traditionally think an IPA tastes like. It wasn't really hoppy. It was juicy. That's kind of the way.
Like,
I would
almost velvety.
Yeah, it was incredible. So if you ever get a chance to try a Treehouse Brewing beer,
do it.
Yeah, you have to do
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Well, actually, if you don't mind, there's a beer that I want to have that you guys might have access to. I've never had it. There's a brewery in the Dallas area called Deep Ellum. Deep, E-L-L-U-M.
Oh, yeah.
An old college buddy of mine is the head brewer or the brewmaster there. Yeah,
really?
That's Steubenville grad.
We can get Deep Ellum. We'll try to get some and send it.
Let me see.
That wasn't
do.
A bag.
See,
that was just no. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
We'll see what we can do.
If you can find me some, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Give us a little time.
You gotta come to Tulsa.
Yeah. Definitely.
Just kidding.
Okay, so let's just get this out of the way really quick. We're only a couple days away. January 18th is a big announcement for Catholic Answers Live. I'm sure it's a big announcement for everybody. We've all been like waiting in anticipation, wondering what's going to happen, who you're going to announce as your new host. I'm sure for you, this has been a almost painstaking, long, drawn-out process that you are excited that it's going to be done. But are you excited that we're finally there?
Oh, man.
You see the finish line?
I'm very excited. I remember when Jerry Usher left the show in 2009. I think he announced he was leaving in late 2008. And it took us, I think, 5 or 6 months to find Patrick Coffin.
I do appreciate, though, the time, like taking your time and not jumping into, we have to find a new host.
Right.
I thought that was really smart on all of your parts, you know, whoever that was, to say, listen, we don't have to just jump into it to get a new host. Let's find the right person, not just a person.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have a lot of great folks who have filled in over the years, who we knew could, keep the ship moving. And of course, ultimately we need that stable voice that's going to be there day in and day out. But we knew we had a little time to work with. So we wanted to just take our time and, you know, put it to prayer and make sure we were choosing the host that we thought God was leading us to. And
how many people did you have like apply for it? Was there quite a few?
Oh, I'd say over 50.
Yeah, I figured it was a lot. I kept joking that I was sending in my application to take over for Patrick Coffin. I told like several of our buddies that we meet with in the mornings. I was like, yeah, I'm getting my resume ready because I'm sending it in to Darren because I think I'm going to take over for Patrick.
Hey, man, they'd do it.
or P-Dog, as we call him.
Yeah, we call him P-Dog.
No, but I definitely felt the weight of the importance of the decision because the show Catholic Answers Live had a big role in my conversion. And so even before I worked there, I felt this closeness to the show and a love for it. That made it all the more important for me personally to find the right person.
So how long have you been at Catholic Answers Live?
I've been there coming up on 12 years.
Man, that's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So you have been really instrumental in its... I mean, it was big time before, I mean, when Jerry Usher was there, I wasn't listening. I just wasn't.
We were still in college.
I wasn't the thriving Catholic, you know, back then. But you've seen it, you know, really
just
become what it is. Because, you know, Catholic Answers Live, at least here in the English speaking world, it's definitely the most well known, it's the most popular Catholic show. And I tell people it's the best show on radio. And I really do think that.
And we have a radio show.
No, wow. Well, thank you. I mean, I, Yeah, I found the show.
So it's basically all you can get all the credit. I mean, it's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm the puppet master.
You hear that, Chris Check? It's time for Darren to get a pay raise.
Well, I started listening to the show actually in its first month. It was 1998, and I was interested in Catholicism. I wasn't Catholic at the time, but a friend of mine who was his family were practicing Catholics, and there weren't too many Catholics in that town. But I kept on asking him questions, and he had good answers, and he also pointed me towards Catholic answers. So I was poking around on the website, and I saw they had a radio show. So I would download these files back before MP3s. It was Real Audio, if you remember that. And and I was hooked. I was like, wow, these guys got an answer for everything. So, and I think this was in the first 6 months of the show's existence in 1998. I was a senior in high school, just kind of interested in Catholicism.
Wow.
And
do you remember who the apologists were back then?
Yeah, Carl and Jimmy were there. I think they were on the first broadcast.
Uh-huh.
Father Mitch Pacowa was on a lot. Even Tim Staples didn't work at Catholic Answers yet, but he was a regular on the show. Steve Ray, Patrick Madrid.
Wow, so it's a lot of the same characters that are on today.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap. I mean, we've found a good number of folks, newer folks over the years. But yeah, those guys who were there from the beginning, they remain there as the staples on the show.
So before we get like too deep into the Catholic, because there's obviously a lot of Catholic answer questions we probably want to ask.
Right.
But before we jump into that, let's talk a little bit about your conversion story, because you just told us, you weren't Catholic in high school, and I've heard from our good friend Joe Q.
Yeah.
He told us to ask you about your unique conversion story. Who Joe is a friend of the show, by the way, so he'll be hearing this.
You know,
yeah,
Joe?
Yeah. Joe is a buddy of mine here in San Diego. Joe Quiroz, we call him Joe Q.
Oh, sweet.
And he used to come by Catholic Answers so much and just hang out and watch the show that we joked around that he was going to start getting a paycheck because he was just there so often. So hey Joe, how's it going? And so my conversion, I grew up a Baptist. I call it cafeteria Baptist because I always believed in God, but we quit going to church when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And but I maintain a belief in God, and but I just didn't really pray much, if at all. And didn't really know much about God. I knew there was a Bible. I never really cracked it open. But I knew there was all these different churches and they all believed different things. And that always really bothered me because it was just kind of self-evident that not all of them can be true. And why would you want to devote so much of your life or devote your whole life to something that isn't completely true? And
totally.
So, I mean, I didn't lose any sleep over it. It was just something that always kind of struck me as odd. But then I met this guy through the high school baseball team, a friend of mine, Robbie Black, and his family were practicing Catholics, and it showed in the way he lived his life. And obviously I knew he was Catholic, and it would come up in conversation. So I remember we were in Springfield, Missouri one weekend at a tournament, and we were like in the Taco Bell parking lot at 2 a.m. or something. And I was like, so what's Catholic? I had no clue. I knew they wore a uniform. I knew Catholics wore uniforms to school. And I was pretty sure they had something to do with the Pope. And that's it. And that's
right.
I was like 15 at the time. So,
so he had a good answer,
yeah,
I guess.
He kind of explained stuff to me, and he said, as he was explaining it, I was like, oh, so you're saying everybody should be one of you guys. Like, you guys have the truth, and all these other churches are kind of break-offs that had part of the truth, but not all of it. And he's like, yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it. And inside my head, I'm thinking, wow, finally somebody's starting to make some sense. So there was an openness there from the beginning. I mean, it still took me years of reading and praying after that night to really take the plunge. But, but it started clicking for me right away.
Yeah, I think today it's refreshing, you know, for the Catholic position to be, we are right. And essentially, to put it bluntly, you are wrong. Because I mean that because today people are with
there?
Moral relativism.
Yeah,
it's like, oh no, yeah. Oh. What I was saying is that it's refreshing for the Catholic Church to have the position that we are right, and that you are wrong. I mean, that's kind of the blunt way of putting it. But with moral relativism, the way it is now, it's like, oh, you're right, I'm right, we're all right. You know, nobody's wrong. Nobody's wrong. And it's just, you know, that's not going to satisfy you. Whatever it is that person's saying, you know that they're not right. So for the Catholic Church to have that, like, listen, we have the truth, and we're the only ones who have the fullness of the truth. It's a bold claim.
And it can come off arrogant if you don't present it the right way.
Right. But it's refreshing. That's what
right.
I was getting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, yeah, you have to have that balance between charity and truth, and you don't want to, you know, beat somebody over the head with it. But you also don't want to hide it too. So you just speak the truth in love,
and
that's what my friend Robbie did to me. And but yeah, I mean, the fact that we have this authority on earth. That we believe in and that we have, reason to believe in, it's really comforting. And it can bring a lot of peace.
Do you still talk to Robbie?
Yeah. I mean, he's got several kids and I'm just getting started. I have a 7-month-old.
Big surprise.
And, so we,
yeah, congratulations.
Days, but
yeah, congrats,
we catch up
man.
A few times a year on the phone.
Yeah. Awesome.
So your conversion, it led you to Steubenville, correct? Hello? Uh-oh. Did we lose you, Darren?
Darren, are you still there?
Uh-oh, did we lose Darren?
We may have lost Darren. Darren, are you there?
Robbie's son.
Oh, Darren.
Darren.
I'm here. Did I cut out?
Oh, yeah. I
think we lost the last 30 seconds.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we were hoping we didn't lose you. So, okay.
The last thing we heard was that you still catch up, about twice a year
on the
phone.
Okay, yeah. Want me to just pick it up there?
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I still talk to Robbie a few times a year on the phone. He was actually my godfather when I came into the church. I went to Steubenville in 2000 knowing that I would join RCIA there. And so Robbie was my sponsor, and I came into the church Easter Vigil 2001, April 14th. And so we've always kept in touch, and I'm also
That's
godfather
awesome.
To one of Robbie's sons.
Oh, cool.
That is sweet. So you going to Steubenville, let me ask you, like, Steubenville is obviously just thriving. I mean, it's like the benchmark of all Catholic universities now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and they just lost their founding priest.
Yeah.
Remind me of his name
Father
again.
Michael
I'm going
Scanlon.
Blank. Thank you. Scanlon. Mm-hmm. Father Scanlon. God rest his soul. But tell me, you know, What's the difference between when you went to Franciscan, you know, when you went at Steubenville and it is today?
You.
Like, there's been obviously
you guys there?
Uh-oh. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, can you hear us? I don't know why we're
out
here.
Okay, I got you now.
Can you hear us
okay.
now?
Okay, I don't know why we're cutting out, but so my question really was, you know, there's a big difference, or you know, Steubenville is kind of the benchmark of Catholic universities these days. Talk a little bit, just, you know, briefly about when you were in Steubenville compared to what it is kind of now.
Sure. So I was there in the early 2000s, and I think I went back to visit. A friend of mine got married maybe about 5 years ago, and that was the last time I visited campus. And I mean, there was like a lot of new buildings and new faces and stuff.
Whatever they're doing right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they're the benchmark, really.
Yeah, you have this different feeling when you drive up that hill and get up on campus. Something about having that many people in one area, you know, all devoted to Jesus, and you know, all on the same page on all the big stuff. It's really, it's kind of contagious. You just kind of, you drive up that hill and all of a sudden it's like this spiritual consolation, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's something too about having young people so on fire for the faith. You know, if you have a group of old people and a group of young people, the young people are just, you know, they put off this electricity, you know, the fact that they're on fire, and that's ageist of me, I know, but that's just, you know, it's just it just seems to be a thing that you get a group of high school, a group of college kids who, you know, like the kids at Steubenville who just love Jesus, mm-hmm. and it is just contagious.
It is, and it gives you a lot of hope because, you know, you see all the bad stuff in the news, but then you're around all these people who have their whole lives ahead of them, and you're like, wow, oh my gosh, I know all these people, and then all these people I don't know who I just see, you know, walking down the hallway. All these people are going to do great.
Uh-oh. I think he cut out again. I wonder why it's doing that.
I don't know.
Isn't that weird? Because he'll come back.
Yeah. Darren, can you hear us? There's like an energy to young people. You know, it's like it's contagious.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll jump in.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's contagious, and it gives you a lot of hope, too, because you're like, you know, you're in college there in your early 20s, you're like, okay, we're the next generation, and all these people go on to do fantastic things, whether they're these, you know, a lot of them become priests or religious, and, or they become authors or speakers, or have these beautiful families. And evangelize. It's just amazing.
Totally.
Okay, so you go through RCIA, you become Catholic at Steubenville, and then you, I know the story because I asked you, we met, what, 2 years ago, I guess, at the EWTN radio conference, and I asked you about this, but tell for everybody else. You know, 12 years ago, you became...
I'm just like, asked, like how I got to Catholic Answers?
Yeah, how you became, you got into Catholic Answers.
Sure. I came into the church Easter 2001 and graduated in 2003. And I was in a rock band. So we wanted to keep the band together, so I stuck around Steubenville. I got a job in the area, and we did the band thing for a couple of years, and that was fun. But then the band was fizzling out, and, you know, most of my friends had moved away, and I just felt like my time there was done, but I didn't know what was next. So I had a job cutting grass and weed eating. Mm-hmm. And I remember being out on this lawn one day, just being at like the height of my frustration. I was praying as I was weed eating, and I was not using very friendly language to God. And I mean, I was like, you know, God, what do you want from me? And or what do you want me to do? And right at that moment, this guy comes out who worked. He worked in TV, and he was like, "Hey, Darren, you're you know computers and stuff, right?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah, I got my degree in computers." And he goes, "We got an opening with the TV network. You want to start working with us?" And I said, "Sure." And this is like a small TV network that was a lot smaller than EWTN. And so I kind of started working in master control operating and video editing. And my boss was a real stickler for audio. I learned audio really well. And did that for a couple of years. And that's actually after that couple of years, that's when the band kind of fizzled out. And I was ready for the next move. And a friend of mine said, "Hey, did you hear Catholic Answers is looking for an audio engineer?" And I jumped on it. I sent in a resume the next day and just got lucky enough to be the guy they hired.
That's so awesome.
I moved to San Diego in 2005.
That's a sweet story. Sitting there on the lawn. "God, what the heck am I supposed to do? Hey, Darren, you want a job?"
Yeah.
Okay, God.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And the connection that speed up kind of, it got me the experience I needed to work at Catholic Music.
Totally. Yeah. That's an awesome story.
So I got to ask you now, so you've been at Catholic Answers for a long time. Jimmy Akin was, you know, one of the founding apologists with Catholic Answers. Is there something about the Catholic faith that Jimmy Akin does not know? Is there something that you can stump him on?
I don't know. There's got to be some like arcane historical thing. Like maybe you missed a footnote somewhere. I don't know.
The guy is like a walking Catholic encyclopedia.
He really is. And he kind of got the nickname Robo Catholic over the years. We used to have that liner we played during the show that called Jimmy a Robo Catholic. And he's a machine.
Yeah, that's what I think about him. Like, he's a computer. Just the way he answers questions, because he doesn't just give an here's the general answer to the question. He'll answer the question, and then here's the answer to the exceptions to the answer I gave you to that question. You know, laser precision.
Yeah, and both he and Tim Staples, it's funny because during the show, they'll be citing the catechism or something, and I look across the studio glass, and usually they're not actually looking at the computer or a book or anything. They're just doing that from memory.
Sickens me.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
But it's so awesome.
Yeah.
So give us an awesome story from over the years at Catholic Answers. I know that you probably have a ton of, you know, practical jokes that probably Patrick Coffin pulled, with him being kind of the jokester and magician that he is. But you have a fun story to share from Catholic Answers.
Let's see. I mean, well, me and Matt Tuschinski, our previous audio engineer, got Patrick pretty good one day. I mean, it was mainly Matt. I don't know how he did it. The soundboards on the internet where you can press a button and it pulls like a quote from a movie or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt put a speaker in the false ceiling above Patrick's office. And just every once in a while would hit a button and like it would be Robert De Niro saying something just kind of faintly. And then where Patrick just thought he was imagining it at first, but then it kept on happening. And, it went along pretty far until finally, Matt was outed. But, we got him good.
I bet that felt so good. I bet it felt so good to get Patrick.
It did. He's usually the getter.
Yeah.
Then that time he was the one got. So yeah, it was nice.
And I like those pranks the best. The long term.
Oh, yeah. The one that pay off dividends.
Yeah.
Yeah, the long-term ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so you know, with Patrick being gone, a new guy coming on, it's almost like, you know, there's a new quarterback of the football team, and I would imagine, you know, the whole, you know, the feel is going to be different. You know, do you have expectations for? I mean, I know that doesn't mean you take the show in a new direction, because you guys are right in the, you know, you're hitting the sweet spot of what you guys do. But I would imagine there were certain things that changed when Patrick Coffin took over from Jerry Usher. Do you guys, I mean, what are your expectations? And you don't have to say like what you think is going to change, but, you know, do you anticipate it to be a very, very smooth transition, you know, or you know, well, what do you think is going to happen? That's just a general question.
I do think it'll be a smooth transition. I mean, when Patrick came on board, you know, I mean, Patrick has a very big personality. We knew that was going to come out on the air, and that was good. You know, we wanted that, and we knew he wasn't. It was still going to be Cap Teachers Live, but Patrick wasn't going to be doing his Jerry Usher impression.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's the same way now. We don't want somebody to come on board and try to do a Patrick Coffin impression. But we want to, you know, maintain humor in the show, of course.
Right.
And but I think I mean, the emphasis of the show is going to be, I mean, as it always has been, but needs like a refocus on like what we were talking about earlier, that that like good balance of charity and truth. And we want to, like, when the atheists call in to Trent Horn or whatever, we, you know, we don't want to have like an adversarial tone at all. I mean, we really want to focus on letting people know that, yeah, you can call in and talk about it, and, you know, if you're upset or riled up, you know, okay, that's fine, but we don't want to be affected by that. We want to just talk about it with you and invite you to something.
Yeah.
And
I got to tell you guys,
the Catholicism thing.
Yeah, I mean, Trent Horn and Jimmy Akin and all those guys, they do a phenomenal job of just like keeping their cool. There's one caller that you guys get, Donato.
I knew that's who you were gonna say.
I mean, dude, he is just like he's.
I like it too, because you can tell he doesn't want to get angry.
Yeah, at first he starts out like trying to keep it cool.
He really tries, you
and
know.
And then, you know, 10-15 seconds later, he's, you know, losing his cool. But even recently, he called in. And with Trent Horn on, and like Trent Horn tried his best to, you know, keep the conversation going. And then at one point, you know, Donato was just, you know, basically yelling and just slandering the Catholic Church. And Trent Horn just had to be like, I think that we have to move on. I think that all the listeners and everybody, you know, Jerry Usher and myself can see that this is just, you know, not being productive any longer. It's got to be tough.
It is, and you know, we don't always do a 100. We don't always do a perfect job of it. And
well, it's because you have human beings on your show.
I think the guys we have on the show do a thousand times better of a job than I could do. And I think we, you know, the vast majority of the time we handle it appropriately. But yeah, it's tough, man. I don't know how they do it.
Well, you know, you have people. You believe it or not, you still have sinners on the show. So,
right.
You know, they're not going to be perfect. But I think they do a phenomenal job. And Trent Horn, he's been such a good addition. Mm-hmm. You know, he really...
Yeah, he really has.
He made a huge impact on me in apologetics, not from a knowledge, he did from a knowledge perspective. But what really struck me was his approach to answering questions. How he would answer a question with another question.
Yeah, the Socratic method. Yeah. I mean, he's just a super logical guy. And I think men, you know, as men, we appreciate logic.
Yeah. And it's like, when I hear him answer a question, it's like, I'm pretty sure that's what Jesus would have said. Like, way to go, Trent.
Don't tell him we said that.
Yeah.
That's... Oh, go ahead.
No. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That is true. I mean, as men, we tend to appreciate logic. I talk a lot about the head-heart scale. Some things are just more cerebral and heady and more about logic and reasoning, and some things are more about the heart and feeling. The ideal approach to everything is having, both those in mind, the head and the heart. You want the mind to guide the will. You don't want emotions running the show, but emotions can tell you valuable information. So that's one thing about Catholic Answers. I mean, our topics are generally going to be on the head side. Mm-hmm. We try to throw some heart stuff in there. But for our approach to answering questions, we want to keep both in mind. Mm-hmm.
Recently, Darren, a couple of years ago, you guys made the transition from the founder, Carl Keating, to the new president, Christopher Cech. I'm sure that was probably, Christopher Cech was already he was already part of Catholic Answers, but, anytime they get a new boss in, you have to be somewhat a little nervous, but it seemed like it went pretty smooth, and Carl Keating is obviously still actively participating in Catholic Answers. Talk just a little bit about that transition.
Sure, yeah. When I came on board Catholic Answers in 2005, it was really cool working for Carl, because his book, I read his book when I was in high school, Catholicism and Fundamentalism. And that book was the one that made me go, oh crap, these Catholics are onto something. I'm going to have to take it seriously.
Wow.
And Carl just did an amazing job building this place. And then, Chris took the reins and, not a whole lot changed for me in the day to day, but, Chris has a vibrant energy. And he likes to push you and give you work until you say uncle. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So when Patrick was around, you guys started Catholic Answers Focus. And that was something that, I think you had told me at EWTN radio conference that, you had obviously a big role in that, developing and helping get that off the ground. We have a couple of listeners of the Friends of the Show who have their own podcasts. So talk a little bit about that process of developing Catholic Answers Focus and give them any tips that you may have as you've been developed Catholic Focus on, what to do and what maybe not to do.
Sure, I guess.
That was a loaded question. I'm really sorry.
No, I'd say, just do it. Just do it, and don't worry if it's not super polished. That's probably one thing I would do differently, is I would have launched it sooner. I mean, we kind of overanalyzed, and probably mostly my fault. We just kept on thinking of it conceptually, what are we going to name it? Let's come up with a list of this or that. And I wish I would have just said, okay, we got a good idea here. Let's do the first one next week. And then, I'm prone to, what they call analysis paralysis, where you just kind of stay in thinking about it most. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you just got to move forward one way. I think that's actually kind of like a Ignatian spiritual principle. If there are, two options or multiple options in front of you, and assuming that none of them are just like wrong or evil or whatever, but if you have two morally neutral or good options in front of you, just choose one and go that route.
Yeah.
And just see how it works out, you know?
A great example of that is Mother Angelica. I mean, talk about a woman who just said, who heard God's voice, you know, heard this is what God's calling me to do, and without thinking about it any longer, just jumped in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know me personally, and I probably wasted a lot of time just and trying to make sure something's perfect or wanting to really think about something, you know, super thoroughly, trying to get that 98% good to 99% good, but with way too much effort. And I don't like to think about like all the agony I could have, or anxiety I could have saved myself had I just just not thought about things so much.
Sure. So Darren, you know, Patrick Coffin, he also was a great interviewer, but those are different skills to be a good radio host and to be able to conduct an interview like he could. Is the plan for the new host to also do Catholic Answers Focus?
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Before Patrick left, we recorded a few to have in the can to roll out. And then Chris Check hosted a few.
Yeah.
But, and then it was just a lot of work to arrange those, and then, you know, Steve's going to host it. And so we just decided, okay, unless something comes up where, Chris can host something relatively easily, we'll just put it on hiatus until the new host is here.
Yeah. I'm excited about that, because that's one of my favorite podcasts. I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I think our next episode is going to be Chris Check interviewing our new host, so everybody can get to know him.
Oh, good idea.
Great idea.
So let me ask you a question, Darren. Let me switch gears here a little bit. Because, you know, you mentioned earlier that you're a dad. I think you said seven months old.
I am, yeah.
Yeah. So how has becoming a dad impacted your faith life?
Well, in two ways. Well, probably a million ways. But the two main things, I think, are, one, it has thrown everything into chaos. I mean, like, I used to have this, like, pretty strict prayer regimen. I'd get, however many minutes of meditation in a day. I'd do a rosary every day, all this stuff. I'd read a chapter of scripture every day. And, like, it's just a completely new ballgame now. I mean, like, I'm still recalibrating. And I'm still trying to figure out where this is going to land, because it just, like, threw my prayer life. I mean, a lot of spontaneous prayer throughout the day, but not, you know, just the regular scheduled stuff is just like, okay, this is a completely different world. I gotta figure out how I'm going to do this. Probably just need to be like more disciplined and go to sleep earlier so I can get up a little early and get some prayer time. But, and then the other thing is just the aspect of fatherhood where you think about, okay, well, I knew God was my father, but now I understand a little bit more of what that means. For instance, you know, when my son is hungry and I'm preparing him a bottle, he's right there in his crib. He sees me like making the bottle, but he's still going nuts, right? I'm like, dude, chill out. You're going to eat in like 20 seconds, you know? I mean, of course he doesn't understand that and know that, but, but it's just kind of funny. Like, hey man, you can stop, you know, it's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you.
Right.
But then, you know, it's like, oh geez. You know, the gap between, like, the knowledge gap between God and us is much greater than the gap between us and our infant children.
Mm-hmm.
And, so what am I freaking out about? And where God is just like, oh my gosh, just chill out, would you? Like, it's going to be okay. I got this.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah, the new perspectives that you get as a new dad really does help. I agree with you.
And as far as your prayer life goes, like, you're waiting for it to land. It might not.
Yeah.
Not for like 30 years anyway. Yeah. I mean, just have to see how it goes.
Darren, my favorite questions that I always try to ask guys whenever we talk to them, because I'm always interested in these answers. It's a two-part question. Who is your favorite saint, and what is the most influential book that you've read? I know those are like kind of loaded questions, because typically every guy, you know, I think every guy should, if they don't, says the Blessed Virgin Mary. But outside of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who's your favorite saint, or who do you call upon as a intercessor, and what book had the biggest impact in your life?
Love Mary. Mary's a big part of my life. But as far as other saints go, I probably go in phases, you know. Like right now, when I think of all the communion of saints and if I had to pick a favorite, I really, Saint Athanasius is awesome. Like if Athanasius wasn't such a weird name for modern English, like I would have wanted to name my son Athanasius. Because I just read, or I read about, I don't know, earlier in 2016, I read The Apostasy That Wasn't, which we publish at Catholic Answers,
mm-hmm.
and basically a kind of a life of St. Athanasius. Much of the book is that. And the way he stood for truth against crazy odds, and just no matter what. Like, he was just completely unshakable. And, he didn't really care. I mean, he cared. He didn't really want, it wasn't the desire of his life to be in that fight, but he knew God wanted him to be doing that. You know, what he wanted to be doing really was being a hermit. I think he was, an apprentice or whatever of Saint Anthony, I think. Mm. And, but, you know, a need arose in the church to fight for the truth about Christ. So he's like, well, I'd much rather be praying out here in the desert, but I need to do this.
Yeah. I love Saint Athanasius.
Yeah, that's not
I'm right one, there with you.
Yeah, that's not one that we normally hear, though. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm a history guy. Like, history was a big part of my conversion. I love reading history. Like, for me, reading history is almost like reading spiritual stuff, because, you just see how God is working through history. So, like, usually if I'm able to get up at 6 a.m. before everybody and get a few minutes of reading time in, it's usually a history book.
So what is your favorite book, or your most influential book that you would recommend guys to read?
Let's see. I mean, I guess maybe three main ones. One of them, the most influential on me, was Carl Keating's book, Catholicism and Fundamentalism, which I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that was the one that made me say, like, oh my gosh, these Catholics, they have answers to things, like, and they make sense. I gotta look into this. Two is Love and Responsibility by J.P. Two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a kind of a life changer there. Let's see, I think every book, like, forms you in some way. I mean, for me, when I read a book, I almost despair of reading books because I know 6 weeks after I'm done reading it, I won't be able to tell you hardly anything about it because I'll forget it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I take consolation in the fact that I believe that we comprehend more than we think we do. So, I mean, even these books that you're not like, you're reading, but then you can't remember all the details or even some of the bigger points, they're in, under the surface, they're really forming your mind. So, I mean, every book forms you in some way, but 11 Responsibilities is one that, you know, really stands out as a game changer. Also, there was one I read like 15 years ago called A Severe Mercy. And it was written by a friend of C.S. Lewis, I think. Honestly, I can't remember much about it. I just remember reading it, and I was like, wow.
I've heard of that book.
And also, Father Jacques Philippe, he's pretty popular these days,
yeah,
wrote a small, one of his small books is Searching for and Maintaining Peace. And, you know, that just caught me at the right time. And it's funny, I reread it like 5 years later, and it wasn't as impactful for me, but that first time I read it was a real game changer.
Well, Darren, we're gonna have to wrap up here pretty soon. I'm gonna let I'm gonna say just a quick word, let Dave take it over, and then let you have the final word. I just wanted to thank you for your friendship, because you know when I met you at EWTN, I was kind of like hanging out by myself, and you kind of made your way over to me to say hello and introduce yourself. It was which I greatly appreciate, and it was really cool of you to do. I know that you and the guys at Catholic Answers has helped the Catholic Man Show quite a bit. You know, Patrick Coffin promoted the Catholic Man Show on air twice, which was super cool. So I just wanted to say thank you for taking the time this evening to talk with us, and thanks for being a great friend. And it sure was a lot of fun to get to know you a lot better at the EWTN Radio Conference.
Yeah, and Darren, Catholic Answers Live, I mean, I think I speak for millions and millions of guys. It made the biggest difference in my life. You know, right out of college, I wasn't really practicing my faith. That was really the show that kind of reignited my desire for apologetics. And, you know, it's easy to say, oh, Patrick, thanks, you know, for all you've done. But, you know, there are guys like you and, you know, hundreds of other guys like you who the show wouldn't happen if you weren't there doing your job. So I just want to say thank you for the work that you've done and just serving the apostolate that you do. I know you could probably, you know, make more money doing something else. That's typically the way it goes when the word Catholic is involved in your employer. But just thanks for everything that you're doing, man. And I'm sure that you know the impact that you make on guys. And in the our friends of the show, I don't think any of them don't listen to Catholic Answers Live. So, and thanks for being on here. I know everybody is going to really enjoy hearing the things you had to say, getting the behind-the-scenes scoop. So any last word you want to leave us with?
No, thank you guys for the work you're doing. I think, you know, promoting authentic Catholic masculinity is just more important than ever. I'm not sure why you guys invited me on the show for that, you guys are doing awesome work, and not just in this, but in I know the work you guys do for the Catholic radio station there in Tulsa, and you know, we couldn't do what we do at Catholic Answers Live, not only for you know, all the other folks at Catholic Answers, our engineer Nick Chamberlain, and all the other support staff at Catholic Answers, but you know, you guys, they're running the station. It's just amazing. Like Adam meeting you at the radio conference. I love going to that because, you know, we're kind of out there in the corner of of the country in San Diego. But so it's so awesome to get together with you guys, kind of like the other half of the team, you know, for, and, the guys who are really making it happen. So thank you guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Darren.
This is Adam Minahan with David Niles for the Friends of the Show with the intrepid Darren Delosier from Catholic Answers. This has been an awesome interview with Darren. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.